Welcome to the Healthcare IS podcast, where we tackle today's challenges in the health IT workforce. Broadcasting live from Sacramento, California, here's your host, David Cushon.
Hi, everyone. This is David Cushon, managing partner of Healthcare IS. 2013 will be our 16th year in business. We primarily provide consulting and contracting services as well as permanent placement services to the healthcare information systems and technology field. Welcome to our first podcast. We're hoping to share our 16 years of business experience with our listeners in an entertaining format that we hope everybody's going to find some value with and also hopefully have a good time listening. As we're moving into our first podcast, I thought I'd just give a general introduction. There's going to be really two main focuses to our podcasts with a little bit of varying format over time. But the first of those two areas, the main focus, is to really gear information to the healthcare IT professional who's looking for knowledge and strategies to help accelerate their career. And along with that, we're going to also have content to hopefully provide healthcare IT CIOs, directors of IS, directors of informatics, managers of IT and informatics, with some specific insight into trends that will affect how they build their teams and also how they can supplement their teams with outside resources on specific unique projects and initiatives that are taking place within their organizations. So let me talk about the format of our podcasts. Ideally, we're going to keep them at about 20 to 25 minute max for you. And typically, we'll have two sections. One will be a short 2 to 4 minute tip that we'll offer each week. We'll typically come up with the idea of that tip by doing some surveys out in the marketplace and getting an idea of what we feel our listeners or people that we're talking to out in the marketplace each and every day are really looking to learn more about. And then secondly, based upon trends that are happening to take place, we'll always have an interview. It'll probably be about a quick 15 to 20 minute interview. We'll also put a transcript of that interview, if it's a little bit easier for folks to read instead of listen to, on our blog when it comes out. And that interview, again, will be geared towards trying to find a resource that we can talk to that'll be able to provide and share some information that we've determined through conversations in the marketplace, our hot trends or things around what a number of our listeners have shared with us that they're looking to learn more about. Okay, and before we get started, I just wanted to make a couple of general announcements for some listeners out there that aren't that familiar with Healthcare IS. We do have our website, of course, healthcareis.com, all one word. It's something we just upgraded and we're very happy about, very proud of. Put a lot of time and effort into our new site that we just brought up in October. And we're really hoping that it's going to be a good, strong resource for professionals in the industry. We added a new look, put some functionality in there that will allow a number of different sections to provide information. The main component on our site, which is updated most frequently, is our blog. We're updating it twice a week right now. We hope to give you some stories and insight from things that are happening within the industry, provide some tips, techniques that we're seeing are working for people in their career, and also some strategies that hiring managers are employing right now to attract the best resources to their organizations. We're going to also add on within the blog and our podcasts, really give you some insight from people that are doing the work out in the industry. We already have a number of interviews lined up, as we'll have on this blog today, giving you some insight from professionals that are experienced and successful, some of the things they're doing, some of the things they've considered in their career, and hopefully just be a good overall resource that you can turn to whenever you're making a big career decision or for hiring managers when you're contemplating who to hire, when to hire, when you're looking at some skill sets or structuring a department in a way that you haven't done before. So welcome back. We're here at the interview part of our podcast today. And as I mentioned at the beginning, one of our goals was to be a resource for people thinking about getting into the industry of pharmacy, IT, or informatics. And each podcast, we're going to try to have an interview with a experienced, successful pharmacist or somebody in the industry who's made the transition from a traditional pharmacy role into the world of pharmacy, IT, or informatics. And so with that today, I'd like to introduce everybody to our first ever podcast guest, Dave Wolf. Dave is somebody I've known for a few years now. Consider him a friend. We've done work together. He's done work for clients of Healthcare IS. Dave is the founder and principal consultant of Fusion RX LLC. He is a pharmacist with over 10 years of focus, with a specific focus on pharmacy IT and CPOE systems implementation and optimization. And Dave has worked with a variety of different applications in the industry, specifically Siemens Pharmacy, Sorian CPOE, McKesson Pharmacy, Meditech, and also worked with CareFusion. Dave, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Yeah, great. Well, as I mentioned, I appreciate you doing this. We're just trying to be a resource for some of our listeners that are thinking about whether or not getting into pharmacy IT or the informatics space is a good space for them. So just wanted to take a few minutes here and ask you a few questions that'll hopefully be a valuable resource. So thanks for being here. Overall, Dave, in your opinion, what do you think the difference is between a couple of terms that are thrown out there quite a bit? What, in your opinion, what's the main differences between an IT pharmacist and an informatics pharmacist?
Yeah, that question comes up quite often. And in my mind, I kind of differentiate them in this way. You know, I view an IT pharmacist as more of a product specialist or an analyst. They're a functional expert who understands the implementation, the maintenance, and the workflow of the pharmacy system, and how they function and interface with other systems. The informatics pharmacist, on the other hand, is more of a specialist who turns that pharmacy data into information. And what I mean by that, he or she will do an analysis of the pharmacy data, whether that be the clinical data, the cost data, and that type of functional data to improve clinical outcomes, cost control, and ultimately system optimization. So one is more of a product specialist, and the other one takes that data and turns it into useful information.
Okay, good. That's a good, clear understanding. I appreciate your explanation there. That'll give a good foundation for some of the other things we talk about moving forward. So tell me, looking back, what originally attracted you to this space, this area of pharmacy, the IT or the informatics space?
Yeah, when I started in this space it's actually been about 10 or 12 years ago now, it was really in its infancy. They realized that pharmacy and IT need to start blending together, and it created a whole new career path and opportunities for growth. You know, as an entrepreneur, I saw it as a great opportunity to create and build a business that's supporting a lot of the resource needs of both the vendors, you know, the Siemens, the Meditechs, the Epics, as well as the hospital pharmacies who are under-resourced to support the implementations. So I saw it as a huge growth opportunity, another career path that pharmacists can take that traditionally wasn't there in the past.
Okay, great. When you first got in, can you just give me an example of what your first step was into this market?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny story. I had an opportunity to get in on the ground, literally the ground floor of a hospital build. We were working in a trailer. The hospital wasn't even built yet, and it was a Siemens Pharmacy implementation. And they didn't have a director of pharmacy or any pharmacy staff hired yet. So I was asked to come in and build the pharmacy system for them in concert with the Siemens vendor as well as the hospital resources that were there at the time. I hadn't done that type of work before. I'd had IT departments report into me, but I'd never done that ground level work. And I dove in, and it was a lot of fun, and it created a whole new opportunity for me going forward. So somewhat, you know, very unique. It was a little scary, but it turned out better than I ever planned.
Well, that's great. That's great. Let me ask you, was there ever a time during that project where you thought to yourself, or you were thinking, or you weren't quite sure if you had made the right move, if this type of work was for you?
I think everybody oscillates back and forth, going back into their comfort zone of where they came from. For me, it was, I looked at the never-ending opportunities, but when your head's down in a project, it's hard to find the next gig or the next project and take the time to do the business development side. So I think that was the one thing that got me a little anxious is, okay, what's next after this project ends? And the projects generally are supposed to last for 3 to 6 months, and many times they could last for as long as 12 to 24 months. And but then when that time ends, okay, what's next? So the key is to really continue looking out for the next gig while still in the current project.
Okay, that's that. You know, that's obviously brings up something that people, at least thinking about the consulting piece, should be giving some consideration to. What are, I guess just to stay on that for a second, how have you overcome that issue over the years in terms of looking for that? I know you say keep your eyes open for the next gig, but are there some things that you've specifically done in order to keep yourself working over the years?
There's been a couple different ways that I did that. One is aligning myself with companies and or vendors that could provide the next opportunity for me. When I got started, I was actually contracted through a pharmacy management company as an independent contractor. Did a very good job with the Siemens implementation, and it led to more work through that venue. In addition, the relationships you build within the client and the vendor, as you do a successful job, they're always recommending you for the next project. So I think the key there is networking, aligning yourself with a referral source, whether that be a management company or a company like Healthcare IS, their job is to be looking out for the next opportunity. And I think that partnership, that alignment really is key to success.
Absolutely. You know, thanks for sharing that experience. You know, a lot of people listening today are going to be evaluating, or they're thinking about what you're saying, and they're trying to also evaluate whether or not this could be a good career path for them. So over the years, I'm sure you've, on a number of different projects, run into people or pharmacists who have attempted to transition into this space who have not succeeded or felt like this was a good move for them. From what you've seen, when you look at pharmacists who haven't felt like this is the best long-term move for them, what are some of the reasons that come to mind? What do you think this might be for people that end up feeling like this wasn't a good choice?
Well, there's a couple things. If you think of the traditional hospital pharmacist, they tend to be on a routine schedule, whether that be day shift and every second or third weekend, or evening shift or seven on, seven off if you're working the overnight shift. It tends to be a pretty standard schedule, and one that they can predict and be comfortable with. An appeal of going into the pharmacy IT space is pretty much a Monday through Friday job, but the thing that they don't realize, there are times, for example, when a system go-live is going on or an upgrade is happening, you may have to do overnight coverage, you may have to do weekend coverage, and work far beyond the normal 40-hour work week, but it kind of ebbs and flows depending on the demands of the project. The other thing that I've seen pharmacists who have gone into this space, some of them really miss the patient interaction or the clinical interaction with the other providers. You still have that, but it's not the day-to-day patient care focus that you had in the past. And so I saw some want to get back into clinical pharmacy. One of the biggest challenges that I've seen folks struggle with who went into pharmacy IT or informatics is many times you're working on more than one project. You know, there's times when you may be working on 10 different projects in parallel and all important initiatives for your institution. Some folks have trouble juggling all of those priorities. And then they feel more comfortable going back into the day-to-day pharmacy order entry. That's the difference I've seen with some who have gone into pharmacy IT and then decide to go back into their comfort zone.
Yeah, see, thanks for sharing those. I think those are some, very specific points that hopefully will bring a lot of value to people considering this type of a career transition. You know, overall, I know that things have worked out well for you in this space and pharmacy IT as well as doing consulting. But looking back, what were one or two things that weren't quite as you expected when you first got into this aspect of the profession?
You know, like some of the pharmacists that I mentioned in my last example, some of the overnight coverage was a surprise to me. Travel was also an impactor. Many times, depending on the project, you may have to be on site up to four days a week and away from home, and that's a challenge. I mean, it's one that I think we need to talk about as somebody considers a career in this pharmacy IT space. As hospitals get more comfortable with you, you can balance it out where you can do just as much remote work as on-site work. But you'll come across some projects where the customer, in other words, the hospital system, isn't comfortable with remote work, and you have to be on-site. So I think that's been one part that I struggled with from time to time.
Okay, good. All right, well. You know, it's good to share that kind of information. I think overall, I hear that quite a bit. It's tough to find that balance. If you were talking to a colleague who was thinking about getting into pharmacy IT or informatics, what piece of advice would you give them that you don't think, even if they're doing their own research, that they might be currently aware of?
I think that as I talk with anyone considering this, I think they underestimate the personal and the professional growth opportunities in this area of in this profession. It allows you to look at things through a little bit different glasses, so to speak. You can experience what your impact of the pharmacy system is on the whole enterprise, not just your little piece of the puzzle. And as you understand these different system dependencies, you see some true results in optimizing and improving patient care ultimately. And you have a much deeper and kind of interdependent understanding of how pharmacy impacts not just getting the meds to the floor in a timely manner, but the impact on the whole health system in general, from admission all the way through discharge.
Mm-hmm. So it kind of pulls you out of what you're doing day to day and forces you to take a more frequently look at the big picture there.
Yeah, more of a global look at
Absolutely.
The whole system. And as you understand that, again, the focus keeps coming back to better patient care and understanding the inner workings of the system, and you ultimately get much better results.
So, you know, what do you think was the biggest surprise, or maybe if I ask it this way, what do you think the biggest surprise for most people who get into this area typically would be? You know, you talked about giving some advice on things people wouldn't be aware of, but, you know, if they decide to get into it and they're once they're in it or people that you talk to are in it, what do you think the biggest challenge or not challenge, but just a pleasant surprise has been for them working in this area of pharmacy?
Yeah, kind of elaborating a little bit about what I said earlier about understanding how pharmacy impacts the rest of the healthcare spectrum. Their eyes get wide open as to, okay, if I enter this drug in this manner, here's what it's going to look like on discharge. An example I'll give you, pharmacy tends to use Latin SIGs or Latin instructions, Latin abbreviations for how frequently you give a drug. And we as pharmacists are very comfortable with that language and those abbreviations. But to the patient, if they had a prescription that they got discharged on that said that they're taking this drug QID, they'd say, what is QID? So instead of saying four times a day, they wouldn't know how to take that drug. So little things like that it makes you realize that we may need to retool and rename some of the things and some of the processes that we currently have in place, because we're impacting not only the pharmacy staff, but ultimately the patient in the end. So it really, again, opens your eyes to your impact on just not just your little pharmacy world, it has a huge impact on the rest of the organization.
Yeah, that's right. You can see, once again, much different perspective from a traditional role. On a little different note, I get asked quite a bit, specifically from retail pharmacists, if there's a way that a retail pharmacist can transition into a hospital or bring any value into an informatics or pharmacist or an IT pharmacist role. What's your opinion on that? Is there a way for a pharmacist coming from the retail sector, is there a way for them to transition in or bring value to the projects that you're seeing out there right now in the hospitals?
It's a great question, Dave. And we tend to be a bit myopic and say that, you can't get into hospital pharmacy IT unless you're a hospital pharmacist or have that background. And I look at it a little bit differently. I find it a lot easier to teach a pharmacist the technology than to teach the traditional IT specialist the clinical side or the pharmacy side. So if you take somebody who's a retail pharmacist, they get pharmacy. They understand drugs. They understand patient care. It may not be in the same setting, but I could teach them the hospital setting and the technology and the IT aspects of it. I hope I'm clear on that. It's easier from my perspective to teach the clinician the IT component than to teach an IT specialist the clinical component.
No, that's clear. It makes a lot of sense. Along similar lines, with projects that are taking place, we get requirements at Healthcare IS for people who are familiar with the software that the particular organization is in the process of installing. So in your opinion, is an informatics pharmacist who is familiar with the software or technologies or devices that a facility is using, would they bring more value to a project if they know or they're familiar with those technologies or software than an experienced informatics pharmacist who may have no specific familiarity with what that particular facility may have?
Good question. That many times that facility is going to, as you said, the requirements you get for the position say, I want somebody with a specific number of years of experience with this application. And I found that depending on the particular project and how detailed it is, this kind of goes back to your very first question is, the difference between pharmacy IT and pharmacy informatics. A pharmacy informatics person, in my mind, are vendor neutral. In other words, they can pull the data out of any system and get the quality outcomes or the quality information they need to make requisite changes in the system or the workflow. It depends on what the project is. If it's a true, like a deep build, like a brand new build of a system, there's some value in having somebody who's done that before with that particular vendor or that application. But as you mentioned in my introduction, I've worked with several different systems, and I've found that the vendors won't like me saying this per se, but if you peel the onion back, if you peel back any of the systems, the core components are the same. And it doesn't take an experienced person long to learn a new application.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It'll be interesting to see how the market evolves as some software packages are more popular or selling better than others, where there begins to be shortages in specific product knowledge, how the industry will adjust to bringing in that pharmacy and informatics knowledge to facilitate areas where there may be a lack of product knowledge or skill set. So that's, I appreciate your opinion on that. It's a good perspective. Something else that we see from time to time is a particular position that as a position in itself may be the exact same position. As an example, let's just say an IT pharmacist. The functions of an IT pharmacist in one hospital may be the same as the functions of an IT pharmacist in another hospital. But in one hospital, that pharmacist may work in the pharmacy, and in another hospital, that pharmacist doing the same work could be working in the IT department. In your opinion, what are the advantages and disadvantages for an IT pharmacist working in either an IT department or in the pharmacy?
Like you, Dave, I've seen it both ways, and it really depends on the organization. But my personal preference, especially if it's a larger institution or an enterprise hospital system, with multiple hospitals part of a system or a network, it makes a lot of sense to me to have an IT pharmacist who works in IT but has a strong working relationship with the pharmacy department, generally having either a reported dotted line to the system director of pharmacy or the director of pharmacy, but a solid reporting line to the director of clinical applications or the CIO or the CMIO within the organization. I found that if a pharmacy IT person is housed or they work out of the pharmacy, they tend to get pulled into the day-to-day operation an awful lot. And I see a lot of value of pulling them out of that environment to allow them to focus on the projects at hand, because they may be working on projects that won't be implemented for 6 or 12 or 24 months out, but it's critical they take that time and use that resource and that capacity instead of having them dive back into staffing on an as-needed basis. If they're officed in the IT department, it's harder to get them pulled back into the staffing on a day-to-day basis, and I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting how those environments can be so unique. I guess on a little bit slighter, different twist, have you seen any specific situations or projects or maybe cultures within certain organizations where, from your opinion, it might be better to work in one department over the next, where it might be, even though you gave some examples after the previous question, are there any unique situations where you could say that in certain circumstances it could actually be better to be in the pharmacy or in the IT department?
Dave, where I've seen more value in having the pharmacy IT person officed or housed in the pharmacy department generally is with smaller hospital systems, smaller hospitals, less than 100 beds, where pharmacy resources are very scarce. So you end up with a hybrid type position where they may spend 25 or 50% of their time in pharmacy IT and the rest of their time either being a pharmacy manager or associate director and or a staff pharmacist. In that type of setting, it makes a lot of sense to me because, you know, first of all, they're resource strapped and they can't afford to hire a full-time pharmacy IT person, nor does the volume of work require it. But what I've seen in those situations is when a big implementation is coming up, they may outsource or bring in, you know, pharmacy IT consultants on a temporary basis to fill those resource gaps in order to get the project implemented in a timely manner, simply because they don't have enough staff on hand to do it themselves. So I think that's where I think it makes sense in that smaller hospital setting. It could be a small community hospital. It could be a critical access hospital. And they only have one or two or five pharmacists on staff to begin with. It makes sense to have that hybrid model in place.
Absolutely. Thanks for pointing out that type of specific example and instance. Dave, those are the just about out of time, and those are the questions that I had on my list here. I just want to take another moment to thank you for being here. I know that's great information. I get asked a lot of these questions every day, and you've certainly been able to provide a level of depth and wherewithal in terms of how to look at evaluating whether or not this might be a good move for our listeners out there that are contemplating this type of a change. And I just wanted to thank you again for taking the time and being a resource for not only Healthcare IS, but to the folks that are listening today.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, that wraps up our interview with Dave Wolf. And with that, we're coming to the completion of our first podcast. Remember to go online and take a look at the show notes on our blog. The blog can be found at healthcareis.com, www.healthcareis.com. Look for those show notes. We're certainly open and would love to have any recommendations or comments. Maybe put a post on that blog, any advice you have for us or anything else you'd like to see in a future show. Don't forget to get connected with us on Google+. We're on Facebook. We've also got a Twitter feed. All of those are Healthcare IS. Check into those regularly to see constant updates for industry news, job opportunities we have, contract situations, and just an additional way to be in touch with Healthcare IS and anyone on our team. With that, we look forward to seeing you next month.